Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. My pleasure to continue to be with you on this Thanksgiving Day. I want to tell you a story about cause and effect, one of the most fascinating phenomenon that you'll ever see, cause and effect, and how one person can make a difference in the course of human history. He was born in what is now Massachusetts, USA. His father named him Tisquantum, and he was a member of the Patuxent tribe, which was part of the confederation of tribes known as the Wampanoag. The Wampanoag, which means Eastern people, inhabited much of what became known as New England. Tisquantum would become a very important person in the future of America, but not before his life would change in ways not to be imagined by any early 17th century Native American. In 1605, Captain George Weymouth from England thought financial backers might be impressed if they saw real live Indians. In an expedition on the east coast of the New World, Captain Weymouth lured three real Indians onto his ship, kidnapped them, and brought them back to England. One of those Indians was Tisquantum. In England, Tisquantum eventually came to live with Sir Fernando George, a financier of New World exploration and exploitation. George taught Tisquantum English and employed him to be a guide and interpreter for his sea captains. Tisquantum had his name was changed to Squanto. Tisquantum became Squanto, and he was brought back to America in 1614 to assist in the mapping of the New England coast. But Squanto's greatest flaw, the inability to know which Englishman to trust, kept getting him in trouble, and incredibly, he was kidnapped again along with a dozen other Indians, and this time to Squanto, he was taken to Malaga, Spain, and he was sold there. But then a group of friars discovered what was happening, and they took several of the Indians, including Squanto, from their captors in order to instruct them in Christianity. Good old friars, right? Well, Squanto lived with the friars until he became homesick, and in 1618, he boarded a ship bound for Newfoundland. In another incredible twist of fate, while in Newfoundland, Squanto ran into an old associate of Sir Fernando George, who took Squanto, apparently willing this time, back across the big water for the fifth time on his second trip to England. Now, this is in a few years. This Indian had crossed was crossing the Atlantic five times. Now trilingual, Squanto was a unique resource, and George once again employed his Indian friend to return to America to map the coastline that was so familiar to him. Arriving back in his home range in 1619, Squanto made the shocking discovery that during his absence, the Wampanoag people had been decimated in 1617 by an epidemic which had also wiped out every single member of his family and home village. Now, about the time that Squanto was making his last journey across the Atlantic, another group of people were planning their first. Their plans were being made to establish a colony in what the English then considered to be the northern boundaries of Virginia. These plans came to fruition when on September 6, 1620, the year after Squanto had gone back, 1620, the 90-foot Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, England. The Mayflower's manifest recorded the names of 110 passengers and crew, including 37 laden separatists, who also became later to be called pilgrims. Now, remember this, realize this, the laden separatists were English, they were basically reformers of the church. They were sort of they didn't like the way the church was going, so they were looking for religious freedom. They'd already gone to Holland and basically had been kicked out of there back to England. And so now they were looking to find a place where they could practice their own religion. And so they got on this boat with these other people. But there were only 37 of them were the separatists. Now, to be sure, demographically, the Mayflower passengers were an unlikely and sometimes contentious gaggle. Even though they were in the minority, the 37 separatists treated their non-separatist fellow passengers with condescension and actually called them the others or the strangers. How about that? But there was one common thread that bound them all together. Each had embarked on this courageous adventure to claim new prospects in the new world, but each one for their own different point of view. Landfall for the Mayflower colonists came on the 66th day at sea, November 9th, when they came ashore near the tip of what is now Cape Cod. Their first encounter with the indigenous people almost cost them dearly when they stumbled onto an Indian burial ground and were chased back to the Mayflower by the graveyard's indignant caretakers. This first contact episode must have seemed like bad luck, but as they were to learn, it was really a blessing in disguise. Safely back on the Mayflower and sailing on toward the main coast, the colonists realized that all this contentiousness between the two groups was probably not going to serve them very well in this adventure, in this new world that they were going to have to deal with. So they decided to create a very important document. This is a great example of people of differing views coming together when they created what we now call the Mayflower Compact, and it's a beautiful document if you ever get a chance to read it. And we now know it to be the first set of laws established for settlers in the New World. And the next landing that they made after that would be more peaceful. And on the day after Christmas, 1620, the colonists chose to establish their new life on the mainland shore of what is now called Massachusetts in a place that they named Plymouth. Now, I'm going to take a quick break in a few minutes, in a few seconds, and when I come back, I want to talk about how something happened that was one of the greatest moments in the annals of serendipity. It was a great example of when cause and effect met humanity, and when two different worlds collided, two different universes, two different cultures, two different languages came together, and you and I are the beneficiaries of that moment. I'll talk about that right after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Happy Thanksgiving. Broadcasting live on Thanksgiving Day, my 13th consecutive live Thanksgiving Day celebration. And I'm talking about a wonderful case of when serendipity meets humanity and when cause and effect meets humanity. And a beautiful thing happened that you and I continue to be beneficiaries of. When I took a break a minute ago, we had the pilgrims, the people we now call, they weren't even called pilgrims in those days. They wouldn't have known. If you met them at that moment, they wouldn't have known who you were talking about. They were later named pilgrims. But they showed up on the mainland Massachusetts, the Christmas Eve, 1620, and then they established themselves. For a few months, many of them lived on the ship, and while the women did primarily, while the men established their beachhead there, so to speak. But the first winter was very cruel. If you've ever been to Massachusetts in January, February, you know what I'm talking about. By March 1621, less than half of the Mayflower contingent remained alive. Over half had died within 4 months of arriving there. But with all of their misfortune, they were about to discover something for which they would later be very thankful. On March 16th, an Indian named Samoset walked into the colonists' camp and greeted them with, "Hello, English!" Samoset was a Monegan Sachem, which means leader, from what is now called the state of Maine. He was hunting and trading in the area, even though he spoke some English. Samoset could look at these sad-looking people and realize that they needed more help than he could give them. So, remember our trilingual world-traveling orphan, Squanto? Well, it turns out that the colonists had set up their settlement in the very spot where Squanto's village had been. How about that? Samoset brought Squanto to the colonists, and during the rest of the year he befriended them and taught them how to fish and grow crops and survive in the new land. Without Samoset's initial and Squanto's sustained benevolence, my friends, it's generally accepted that the pilgrims would probably have suffered severe famine over the next year, which would likely have resulted in the failure of the Mayflower expedition. But thanks to the humanity of those two individuals, the first harvest by the colonists was bountiful, and sometime in October 1621, they decided to set aside a day to give thanks for their blessings. Squanto was invited, and he brought other Indians to what became the first, what we would consider the first Thanksgiving Day. Now, as we know, it doesn't look, that day didn't look anything like what we do today. In fact, our friend Ken Davis says they probably did some fasting instead of pigging out like you and I do these days. But regardless, there was a day set aside for Thanksgiving in America, and it was the unofficial first Thanksgiving that we had. So here are the cause and effect questions, my friends. What if Squanto had not been kidnapped and taken to live in Europe? What if he'd not learned English or ultimately endeavored to return to his home? But more importantly, what if he and Samoset had not been of a good heart and had not befriended the people who arguably were the most important colonial seeds in the history of what is now called the United States? Neither Squanto nor his friends could have known that after 388 years, not only just the United States, but in fact the world, is still benefiting from the experiences of his life and the decisions of these two Indians, these two individuals, Samoset and Squanto, to do good. It's one of the great moments in the annals of serendipity when those two universes collided. If the success of the Mayflower expedition was important to the ultimate settlement of America, then it takes no great leap of logic to see how an individual could make a difference in the success of the United States and ultimately benefit the world. This week I give thanks for Samoset and Squanto, two people who chose to do good, who chose to make a difference in the lives of many. And my friends, if Squanto can do it, if Samoset can do it, you and I can too. Never forget the fact that one person can make a difference. Here are some things to be thankful for, my friends. This is written, I'm told that Mother Teresa wrote this. And here are some things for you to be thankful for today. Be thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means you have enough to eat. Be thankful for the mess you clean up after a party, because it means you've been surrounded by friends. Be thankful for the taxes you pay, because it means you're employed. Be thankful that your lawn needs mowing and your windows need fixing, because it means you have a home. Be thankful for your heating bill, because it means you're warm. Be thankful for the laundry, because it means you have clothes to wear. Be thankful for the space you find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means you can walk. Be thankful for the lady who sings off key behind you in church, because it means you can hear. Be thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning, because it means you're alive. And finally, here's mine, my friends. I'm thankful for small business owners, for you, small business owners. I know what you do. I know about your courage. I know about your stick-to-itiveness. I know about your passion. I know that you're the kind of person that Samoset would be proud of, because you make a difference. One little encounter at a time with customers and with people in your community, you make a difference every day. I'm thankful for you, small business owners, the most courageous and most important modern-day pilgrims that I know. Got to take a quick break. Right back after these messages with our good friend Bob Dylan Schneider. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.